Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus, the 12th chapter, in verses 15 through 20, God introduces the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Israel through Moses. That can be found again in Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 20. Now, I'm not going to read through it for the sake of time, but I will point out that there are seven clues God gives us concerning this festival that teach us a great spiritual lesson. In fact, seven spiritual lessons. So let's talk about the seven clues that can be found in Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And this is referring to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first clue, for 7 days, unleavened bread was to be eaten. The second clue, leavening was to be eliminated from their homes prior to the first day and kept out during the 7 days of the feast. Clue number three, anyone who ate leavening during the 7 days of unleavened bread was to die. Clue number four, on the first and seventh days, they were to have congregational worship services. Clue number five, on the first and seventh days, they were to rest from their works except meal preparation. Clue number six, on the first day they were delivered from Egypt into a new land and life. And clue number seven, Israel was to keep this feast forever. So God gives us seven clues in these verses that will unlock great spiritual lessons for us. They have such overwhelming knowledge and information and depth to them that sometimes I can scarcely believe how much is packed into such few verses. But let's get into it. And before we do it, though, let's also talk about what unleavened bread is, because many people don't even know what unleavened bread is. And of course, you probably wouldn't unless you're keeping this Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the English word unleavened comes from the Hebrew word matzah. That's M-A-T-S-T-S-A-H. And according to Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, matzah means hastily devouring for sweetness, i.e., it has not had time to become sour or bittered or fermented with yeast. Okay, so now, let's unlock the meaning of the seven clues. The first clue, for 7 days, unleavened bread was to be eaten. And there's three parts to this one clue. The first part is the 7 days, the second part is unleavened, and then the third part is bread. So for 7 days, unleavened bread was to be eaten. Now, what is the rich meaning in this section of scripture here? Well, first of all, seven is the number of perfection. So when we talk about the 7 days of unleavened bread, you look at that number seven and immediately perfection should jump into your mind, because seven in the Bible is used as the number of perfection and the number of completion. Let's take an example. In Genesis, the first chapter, and in the second chapter, we have the 7 days of creation. That was God's perfect creation of the heavens and the earth. And it was also a complete creation of the heavens and the earth. So those 7 days showed a perfect and complete cycle of creation. Also, in Leviticus 23, where we've been taking most of our study on God's seven annual appointments that he has made with you, we can find that there are 7 annual feast days. So these 7 annual feast days picture God's perfect and complete plan of salvation for all of humanity. So again, when you see 7, you know that that is a symbol of perfection and completion. So now we've covered that first part, 7 days. Now for 7 days, unleavened bread was to be eaten. Why unleavened bread? And we heard that unleavened bread is bread that has not been soured or bittered or fermented with yeast. It was to be eaten hastily by the Israelites while it was still in its sweetened state. Okay, so let's talk about unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, again, is sweet and unfermented, whereas leavening sours and puffs up. We can read about that in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 6 through 11. This is Matthew chapter 16, verses 6 through 11. And this is where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Then the disciples understood that Jesus wasn't talking about the leaven of bread, but he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, why did Jesus Christ say that the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was like leavening? Because leavening puffs up. And what were the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They were a bunch of puffed up, vain religious leaders. And they were condemned often by Jesus Christ for their vanity, because they were hypocrites. They projected themselves to be one way, bigger than what they were. And really, of course, they were nothing. And all of us really fall into that category, because none of us amounts to anything without Jesus Christ living in us. Also, of course, their doctrine was bitter. It was very sour. It really bit people. It hurt them. It was a very devastating kind of a doctrine. They put people down very, very frequently. So also we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, more understanding about leavening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, here Paul is saying to the church, "Your glorying is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven puffs up the whole lump?" So the church, that congregation in Corinth, was becoming puffed up. They were becoming vain. They did not have concern for their brothers and sisters in Christ. They were looking out for themselves. And Paul says to them, "Purge out the leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are supposed to be unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So you see here the contrast? The leavened bread has malice in there and wickedness, evil intent, wrongdoing. But the unleavened bread, by contrast, is sincere and it's truthful. It is helpful. It is pure and good. So that's what the unleavening reveals to us. The unleavening means that it's pure, it's sincere, it's full of truth. It is not tainted with any vanity. It has not been puffed up. It is not bitter or sour. It's very sweet to the taste. So therefore we have two parts to this first clue. The 7 days, which represents completion and perfection, and also the unleavened bread, which pictures a sweet, pure bread. And now bread itself. Bread in the Bible is often used to connote our main source of sustenance. Of course, you know this scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." It goes on to say, by every word of God. But the fact is that by every word of God is the spiritual side. We do live by bread on the physical side. So bread here is used to represent our physical sustenance when it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, of course, we have this as the Lord's Prayer, saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, people didn't go around eating just bread all day long, all of their lives, but bread was the staple. That was the symbol of our eating. And even you'll find in the Bible lots of times when it says that the disciples got together and broke bread. That means that they had a meal. So bread is often used to connote our main sustenance. And Jesus also uses bread to represent himself. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, it says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave it to the disciples, saying, 'Eat this bread, for it represents my body.'" And then in John chapter 6, verses 48 through 54, we have these famous words where Jesus was speaking of himself, and he said, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eats this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give represents my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoever eats my flesh has eternal life, and I will resurrect him at the last day." Those are some very, very profound and encouraging words. So now it should be clear with those three parts to this first clue. The 7 days represents us becoming perfect in the process of eating unleavened bread, because we are sustained through the perfect and sinless bread of life, Jesus the Christ, as he dwells in us. So that's the first clue, the 7 days of unleavened bread. The second clue is that leavening was to be eliminated from the homes of the Israelites prior to the first day of unleavened bread and kept out during the entire 7 days. So the first part of this, prior to the feast, all leavening was to be removed from homes. Why? Well, the meaning is clear. By eliminating the leavening, we are eliminating sin from our lives, because the leavening puffs us up, makes us sinful. So by eliminating the leavening, we are eliminating sin from our lives. As we saw already in 1 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 through 8, leavening is a symbol for sin. The reality is that sin is removed from our lives through repentance and the cleansing blood of Jesus the Lamb, as pictured by the Passover. That's why all leavened bread was supposed to be cleaned out of their homes prior to the first day of unleavened bread, because that is symbolic of having all sin removed from our lives, which happens during Passover. Only after leavening has been eliminated can Christ, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, be received into our lives. So in other words, the leavening, the sin, the dirt has to be moved out before the pure and precious body, the bread of Jesus Christ, can be received into our lives. And then, of course, the second part to this second clue is that during the feast, leavened bread was to be kept out of their homes for the entire 7 days. And again, why is this? That's pretty simple. Because keeping leavening out is symbolic of us keeping sin out of our lives. So the first part is where prior to the feast, all leavening was supposed to be eliminated. And now, during the feast, the 7 days, all leavening was supposed to be kept out. So not only do we eliminate sin from our lives, but we keep sin out of our lives. Sin is so deceitful, it can creep back into our lives, and we have to be vigilant to keep it out. I want you to think about the process of leavening for a moment. Dough, left in the open, can become leavened by simply attracting yeast spores floating in the air. That's like Satan the devil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he's constantly seeking to leaven us. And you can read about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. He did this to Adam and Eve when he injected into their minds thoughts contrary to God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every sin starts as a lustful thought contrary to God. If it is dwelled upon, it gives rise to sinful actions. That's what it says in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. And God exhorts us to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. So here we have the second clue, that prior to the days of unleavened bread, all leavening was supposed to be eliminated from the houses of the Israelites, and then during the feast, all 7 days, leavening was supposed to be kept out. And we have to constantly be vigilant to keep it out, because it can creep back in so easily, because the prince of the power of the air is constantly trying to inject into our thoughts thoughts that are contrary to God's will. So those are the first two clues about the 7 days of unleavened bread.